hello again, everybody. Good evening. Please turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. As you're doing that, I do have a couple of announcements. One is that our youth group meets every Monday at 6 p.m. right here in the church, in the room that we don't know the name of on the other side that's really big. That room. 6 o'clock every Monday. And also, speaking of the youth group, they're planning a great event for the library. Okay, thank you, Colonel Mustard. The youth group is planning a great event for November 16th, where they're going to invite their friends. And the idea is to introduce other people to the youth group, also to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. It's going to be a great, great event. And in preparation for that, because there are some expenses that the group is going to take on, they're going to have car wash on Sunday, October 27th, from noon right after service, from noon to 2. That's not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So please take note of that. Do what you have to do to make your cars look dirty so they feel like they're giving you your money's worth. Again, October 27th. All right, again, please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Title of tonight's message is The Wonders of Being in Christ, Part 3. The Wonders of Being in Christ, Part 3. Once again, there's my email address if you've ever got a concern or a prayer. That's another thing I got to do, right? But if you ever have a concern or a question, please understand that I consider myself to have an open door for these kind of things. That's my email address, pastor@lbible.org. Let's now pray as we normally do. Father, we thank you once again this evening for Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have this tremendous plan that you've been waiting to reveal since eternity past. You saw us in Christ way, way back then, before there was even a creation. And you saw us, and then mankind fell in the garden, and then you came up with an even greater plan with your grace to rescue us from sin and to place us in heavenly places with Christ and to be in Christ. And you knew it all along, and you revealed it after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and had ascended to be with you. We thank you so much for his work on the cross that made all this possible. We also thank you for the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to reveal these things to us and give us the wherewithal to enjoy them and live in them. And we're going to do some more of that this evening, Father. We're very excited to get started. We also, though, want to bring to you this evening the needs and the heartaches and the challenges and difficulties that different members of our congregation are facing at this time. We ask for your intercession in those things, Father, your tremendous, perfect ways in handling every one of them, both in terms of the situation and in terms of their hearts. And we just ask for the guidance and direction that you'll be giving us in the coming days and weeks. It's how we can best be fellow members of the family together in that regard. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. On his merits we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've now launched into the subject that the Holy Spirit's been putting on my heart to give for a while, and that is the security and the wonder and the blessings of our position in Christ. The wonders of being in Christ. We're going to explore amazing blessings for us that are found in Christ. Now, technically, you may have heard this subject called positional truth in the past. If that means something to you, great. But I'm not going to use that expression because the Bible uses the expression in Christ, and that's the expression I'm going to be using for this. As we do this study, just allow yourself to be amazed once again. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to a renewed enjoyment of enjoying the wonders of being in Christ. If you're a believer, and last time I checked, you were still in the church age because the rapture hasn't happened. You are in Christ. You have been placed permanently into Jesus Christ. And that means so many wonderful things that the Bible brings out. And that brings out so we'll know these things. And so that the Holy Spirit can bring us to a deep understanding, appreciation of them, and to be able to enjoy them and live in them. Especially enjoy them. Because if there's one thing that, thinking about the approach to Bible doctrine that we've been in for many years, I'm concerned, and the Holy Spirit has put on my heart to say that even though we know we've got these things down pat and we can recite them and define them and list them, you know, we may not be at a place where we're actually enjoying them. That we're so busy putting all these things down, and nobody's more guilty of that than the pastors, by the way, okay, that we don't stop and say, but wait a minute, you know, this is really true about me. I really am the righteousness of God in Christ. I really do have wisdom because I'm in Christ and He's total wisdom. And so many other things, an inheritance, our adoption, so many things that we have by being in Christ. Tonight, we're going to have an opportunity to kind of come at them from a different way. We started last night, just a slightly different way of doing things, to come at it from another direction. And I hope that will be a springboard to you being able to just look at it in a new way. And as we go through the different blessings of being in Christ, I just want you to, while you're taking account of all of them, maybe just pick one that really strikes you as significant for you tonight and let your heart rest on that truth about you and really stop to enjoy it, to see how you can live in it and how it ought to change your perspective on what this life is all about. 2 Corinthians 3:15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I mentioned last night that I just read the New American Standard because I know that's the Bible we study from. But this particular case, the fact of the matter is that the King James has it better. And part of this even has to do with the Greek text, which I'm not going to get into. But in any event, this really captures it completely. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. By the way, the "he is" not even in the original language. Paul's so excited to get to this that he just blurts out, "New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Everything about you in Christ is completely new. It's something that's never been true of mankind until the church age, until Jesus Christ rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and until the Holy Spirit comes down to indwell believers. So these things are completely new. They're also new in the sense that everything about who you were in Adam is old, and God has put that away. And He started new, completely new. That's why we're born again. Literally, it means that we're starting over in the spiritual realm. And everything about this, who we are in Christ, is completely new. Has nothing to do with who we were in Adam. We're going to see some of that this evening. So that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Please turn again this evening to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. We're just looking at this at a really high level to start. And then we're going to drill into this in some more detail tonight. But look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. This is an all-encompassing statement about the wonders of being in Christ. Ephesians 1, 8. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That's the times that we're living in, the church age. That is, to the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens and things on the earth. Again, that is an all-encompassing statement about the wonders of being in Christ, that God is actually summing up all things in Christ. Please turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for yet another statement of this kind. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In Christ, all things become new. They are new. In this church age, God is summing up all things in Christ, and that's where we are if we're believers. And then look at Colossians 2:9. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him, in Christ, you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. You have been made complete. In other words, everything that God desired for you to be, you are in Christ right now. Right now, and we're going to study what some of these things are. But that's so amazing that we need somebody who can describe these things for us in ways that would get it to the heart of how we understand ourselves in this day and age. And thank God we have that person, God the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to take of Christ and make it available to us. We saw that last night. He puts us in Christ, and then once we're there, he goes about making us aware of all the wonders that it means to be in Christ, and then to allow us to live in them, to allow us to live in these things, and to actually enjoy them. This is what God wants for you. God's never stopped wanting that for the human race, to be able to enjoy the things he gives us. That's true in the garden. He wanted Adam and the woman to be completely satisfied with what he had given them in the garden. And they weren't. And that's the start of all the trouble. Same thing is true about us. God wants us to enjoy and be completely satisfied with all the blessings he has given us. And so much so that he's put the Holy Spirit in us to enable us to enjoy and appreciate these things. Please turn to John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. It's very important to see the Holy Spirit's role in all of this. John 14, 16. The Holy Spirit is a unique, unique thing about being a church-age believer, having the Holy Spirit indwell us. God did that so that we could live the life that he always wanted human beings to live. And he's given us the New Testament teachings for the same reason. And he's placed us in Christ for the same reasons. It's tremendous, the things that God has already done for us and that he wants us to take advantage of and enjoy and live in and know about. Look at John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, this is Jesus, and he will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever. You're not going to lose the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him. Because he abides with you, and he will be in you, and he is in us now. And then on verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In other words, he's going to live at the right hand of the Father, and we're going to share in that same life that he has. And the Holy Spirit's going to make that known to us. And the Holy Spirit's going to make that real to us. And allow us to live in it through the Word of God. In that day, you will know. And notice the importance of knowing these things. It is true. These are all true statements. God, Jesus is in the Father. He's deity. And you are in me, he said. You see, we are in Christ. That's positional truth. That's what we're studying right now. The wonders of being in Christ. And I in you. Jesus is in us. The hope of glory is the fact that Jesus is in us. Now, those things are all true and amazing. But it's really important. The Holy Spirit's on the scene so we can know them in the deepest possible way. And it can be absolutely convinced and totally surrounded by the fact that this is true about us. Jesus Christ is in the Father, and we are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in us. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And then finally go to John 16, verse 13. These are in the four or five chapters in the Gospel of John that are directed front and center at church-age believers. It's the one time in the Gospels where it's all about the church that's about to come on the scene. And in chapter 16 and verse 13, we read Jesus again speaking, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me." The Spirit glorifies Jesus. We've seen that. "For he," the Spirit, "will take of mine all that it means to be in Christ and will disclose it to you." That's the Holy Spirit's job. And he uses the Word of God to do it. But he's actively involved in our lives trying to get us to have more and more of an appreciation of the wonders of being in Christ. And to live that way and have it change us and move us. In the same way that we saw last night, the whole subject of the love of God. The Holy Spirit, it was said in the book of Romans chapter 5, he's the one who pours the love of God into our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. He's on the scene to enable these things, to make them real, to help us to know them in the deepest parts of who we are and make a difference and change us completely in how we understand what life is all about, what God is all about, who Jesus is, why we're here, and the wonders, the blessings, the amazing blessings we have because we're in Christ Jesus. So again tonight, we're going to let the Holy Spirit do this for us by means of statements in the Scriptures about the wonders of being in Christ. Now first, I want to go through that doorway again that we started on last night, because sometimes we heard these things before and we can take these things for granted, and that's a horrible thing. I mean, that essentially is what happened in the garden, wasn't it? When Adam and the woman sort of took for granted everything that God had given them, and bought the lie from Satan that there's something that God was holding out on, that they're missing. There's nothing. It's all laid out for us here. The idea is to enter into it again, have a new appreciation, to enjoy the wonders of being in Christ. So I'm going to do the same thing I did last night. I'm going to ask you to help go along with me now. Just put yourself in this mind frame, because it'll help you look at things another way. I want you to imagine, just for a little while, that you just picked up the latest blockbuster, bestseller, self-help book that's out there. You just picked it up. It's on the shelves. You're at Barnes & Noble. You're on Amazon.com. And you're looking either at the back of it where it talks about all the endorsements, or you're reading a review, and you find something stated about it. Things such as this. Imagine this being on the back cover of a book. Are you afraid of dying? No, a lot of people are afraid of dying. It's a fairly common thing. This book will show you where to obtain an indestructible life. Now, I know for a fact that there's people out there today making lots of money, promising to go about healing us one little thing at a time. I'm always getting these emails about, hey, watch this, God only knows how long it lasts, video that will tell you how to deal with the fact that you have low testosterone, or will help you how to deal with the fact that you have high blood sugar. Little pieces of what our body is undoing in our lives, okay? This baby, this book here, is going to cut through all of that and say, you know what, forget about all that. How about just having a life that's indestructible, that goes on forever, you know? Imagine how many books would sell with that promise. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, this alone would make this a bestseller. As I mentioned last night, people would kill to obtain an indestructible life. How's that for an oxymoron? Right? People would spend all the money they had. I know it's true because I see people spending all the money they have now for things that are just maybe get them a few years more. But how about a life that never ends? I mentioned Walt Disney last night. You can look this up. It's true. Walt Disney is a cryogenic mummy today. That's where Walt Disney is. When he died, he wanted his body frozen and stored away so that maybe someday somebody would discover his personal fountain of youth and they could unfreeze him and administer whatever that would be, and then he'd go on living for a long, long time. That's a true statement, all right? That gives you some idea of how important this is to the human race. But this is only the tip of the iceberg. That's what's in this book. How about this? Are you feeling condemned in any way? You know, and now the human race is condemned in all kinds of ways. In fact, the human, we in and of how we treat one another, we major in condemning other people. We really do. We do it in our own relationships. We're dissatisfied and we say something that puts somebody down. We do it in the larger scale. We do it on our political games that we play. It's all about destroying the other person, putting them down, condemning them, making them feel like dirt. We're really good at that. And so, and brothers and sisters are probably better than anybody at it. All right, all I have to do is take a look at brothers and sisters operating for 10 minutes, and I understand that there's condemnation coming from one way or another into our lives. It's just how it is, right? Well, how about the fact that you can actually get a book, and this is the book I'm talking about, that will open the door for you to never be condemned again? How many copies would that book sell? Or this, are you stuck in the mud, just another face in the crowd? I mean, this is what Facebook is all about, isn't it? They want to stand out so you're not just another face in the crowd. You're, you know, Facebook face in the crowd, and everyone's going to see what you're up to and so forth. I mean, so much about what people do is to try to get an edge on somebody else, try to be important, try to have some fame and so forth, you know. So this is a big question that people ask, you know. Yeah, I feel like I am stuck in the mud. I'm just another face in the crowd. I don't have that something that these other people have to make them stand out and make people admire them. Well, this book is going to open the window for you to live in the place where you will know forever that you have been set apart for a unique calling of the highest kind. Or how about this? Are you tied down and in bondage at all? Maybe to things? Are you in bondage to things in your life? You in bondage to people or situations that you feel like you just can't get out of certain things, that certain people are making you do things you don't want to do? Is that you in any way, shape, or form? Because let me tell you something. The people that actually live in the place this book is going to bring you to are people who have a wonderful liberty and freedom. Wouldn't that be great? Or this. Are you into some major bad stuff? Direct this to the young people. You into some major bad stuff? I mean, I shouldn't pick on the young people. Believe me. We adults are into some major bad stuff ourselves, okay? We're just a little better at hiding it sometimes, okay? But that's another story. You know, everybody's got something we're dealing with that we would be a little bit probably ashamed if everybody knew about it. Some people have things on the side that are going on in their life that they keep hidden and so forth. Bad stuff. Well, you need to know And this book will show you that you can actually live in a place where nothing but good works have been prepared for you. Everything you're going to do in this place is good works. And all you got to do is believe the truth about the solution to the problem of the human condition, which this book will also show you. Or how about this one? Do you have a restless and storm-tossed soul tonight? Is that you? Do you feel a sense of restlessness? It's an unfair question, by the way. Anybody who knows the Bible knows that this is the status of the human race, is restlessness in our souls. Let's read the book of Ecclesiastes, where he tries everything. He tries everything he can, humanly speaking, to try to get rid of that restlessness, that soul that seems up today and down tomorrow, tossed around. You know, the Bible sometimes talks about being tossed by every wind of doctrine. And believe me, you folks that are studying the Word of God and understand your position in Christ a little bit, you know, we don't know how good we have it. But imagine being back in that world where you really are relying on, you know, what the news today is going to tell you is trying to bring you a solution to life. Or, you know, you want to look at the philosophies that have been put out over the last 50 years or so. And you want to find one that you can hold on to that will be yours, that will give you a sense of meaning and purpose and identity. And you just can't seem to find it. You read something that sounds pretty good. You try it out. It doesn't really work. You come back again. You go back to the bookstore again. You get another book to see whether that's going to be the one that's going to give you what you need to settle down your soul. People are taking all kinds of medications to settle down their soul. People are trying all kinds of things. You know, maybe if I just go on the right vacation in the right place, my soul will be settled. Maybe if I meet the right person, it'll give me a sense of self-worth and I can settle down this restlessness, this sense that things aren't right. Again, it's an unfair question because that is what it means to be a human being. And it's what Christ came to deal with on the cross, actually. And I'm kind of giving away some about this great bestseller book, but that's what I do. Because this book will tell you that you can be at a place where you can have a peace that you've never experienced before. In fact, it's beyond words to describe. And then finally, imagine if Oprah said that. How many people would believe it, by the way? Hey, this book, I mean, some of the characters that she used to bring on, it's amazing that, I don't want to get into it, but some of the frauds that she brought on that had this, and millions of people said, oh, this has got to be it. This is my answer now. So-and-so wrote this book. So-and-so found this mystic that lived 200 years ago who wrote something. That's going to be the key to my life. People are desperate out there. People are desperate out there. So that if Oprah said, hey, this book I've got right now is going to bring you to a place where you'll have a peace that's beyond words, millions of people would buy that on her testimony. Well, what about the testimony of the God that created the universe, who actually said that, and you can have that? How about that? Or this, are you convinced that the pieces of your life will never fall in place? Again, unfair question, because this is the description of the human condition, is that we just can't quite get our act together. In some respects, that's the definition of sin, just kind of missing the mark, just coming close but falling short. And we've all, as the Bible says, fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have parts that don't work right in who we are, our personality, our flesh, our relationships in life. Nobody tonight has a situation when they can actually say, all my relationships are working great, I like everything about myself. Not going to happen. It's just not true. It's not going to happen in ourselves, in our natural state, in our flesh. But there is a place that we can live. I'll take you there. What was that song? Remember that song? I've got a place. But anyway, there is a place you can live that you can wake up in the morning and you can find yourself living in the one place in this universe where you have been made complete finally, that you will lack nothing at all. This and much more is waiting for you in this wonderful place that this book is all about. Now, how many millions of copies would that book sell with a good marketing strategy? 10, 20 million copies? Well, let me just tell you something. What I've just been talking about, ticking off these different things, each and every one of those things are facts about you. Did you know that? Each and every one of the things that I mentioned tonight are facts about you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. They are facts about you because you're in union with the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of these things that I've mentioned this evening so far, I found when I looked for two simple phrases in the New Testament. And they are, and these are key, in Christ and in Him, where Him is Christ. Okay, the New Testament is salted with this phrase. It's all kinds of places. And everywhere you find this place where it says in Christ, you find something amazing about you, something wonderful about you. It is a great thing to take with you and march through the New Testament. Because every time you find it, you're going to find something wonderful about you. New Testament is much more optimistic about us and our situation, by the way, than most of the theologians and systematic theologians and so forth. I mean, I was just reading today something. Great, great guy, great book and everything. But it's like at the end of it, I'm like, oh, you know? It's like I was a total downer. You mean I got to do all this and I got to do all that? And I got to use all this terminology that somebody made up. It's not in the Bible. I got to sort through all of that. And half of it is telling me that I don't measure up and I'm not good enough. Nah, let me go back to in Christ. I like that a lot better. When I just take my New Testament out and I just start walking through and looking for in Christ, I got some advantages because I got a computer program that'll do it for me so I can tee these babies all up in about 2 minutes with the PC Study Bible. It's a great tool. But you can do that in a concordance too. And then I start reading about who I am in Christ again. Then I'm like, finally I'm in a place where I'm excited about being alive again. I'm excited about studying the Word of God again. I'm excited about being a believer in Jesus Christ again. How long has it been since you just took some time out of your busy life and just enjoyed even one of these facts about you and Christ? We're going to see how the wonders of being in Christ, they link up with our union with Him. And you've heard this before, but in His death, there's so many things that come out of being baptized into His death, His burial, especially His resurrection. Because Jesus Christ now, today, tonight, He's risen. He's ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We are in Him, in His session now. Totally alive. Totally untouchable of any of the things that are attacking the human race. And we're in Him now. That's where we are. And so we're going to look at all of that. But first, we're going to just check out, just by looking at that phrase, in Christ and in Him, the things that we share because we're in union with Him. The things we share with Christ because we're in union with Him. What a fellowship that is. Fellowship, by the way, in the New Testament, koinonia, it means sharing in common. And these are all things that we share in common with Christ because we're in Christ. So let's go back and revisit some of those blockbuster questions we started with, and a lot of others as well. And this time we're going to see how they're all answered by scripture passages that speak of us being in Christ. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking a little bit in the New Testament. But again, take them all in. But I also want you to make sure tonight, do this for yourself. Make sure that your heart rests and settles on the one that you know is just for you tonight. The one that most speaks to you and your need this evening. Take that one, rest in it, enjoy it. Let the Holy Spirit bring you to a new place concerning the reality of that for you in your life. All right, the first one. Are you afraid of dying? Please turn to John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. A lot of people are. That's understandable. Dying is the great end as far as the natural mind can see this, the human life. A lot of people are afraid of dying. Let's see what the Bible has to say about this place in Christ. John chapter 1, verse 4. In Him, that's that great phrase, okay, in Him and in Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's an indestructible life. It's the life that Jesus Christ now has at the right hand of the Father, eternal life. Please turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Romans in this remaining time this evening. That ought to give you a clue, too, about where to go back and find these things. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You've heard it before, you've quoted it before, but tonight, look at the fact that it's talking about you in Christ and what you have. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life, where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a wonderful thing, a blessing about being in Christ. Eternal life. You don't have to be afraid of dying anymore. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, you share his eternal life. That's an amazing, amazing, amazing blessing. Please turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23. Because a lot of people have to say yes to this next question. Are you a prisoner of your past? Are you a prisoner of your mistakes? Are you a prisoner of your failures? I know a place where that can all be history. Look at Romans 3, 23. Romans 3, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, of course, that's the human condition right there. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. No matter what it is that we're a prisoner of our past, our mistakes, they all come in that category. We've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. Isn't it refreshing to finally find a book, the Bible, that tells it like it is? Doesn't it try to cover up the real situation that everybody knows that we're in? There's not one person walking the planet that doesn't realize there's something wrong with the human race. Now, they may not see too much about themselves, but they can certainly look at the human race as a whole and see all kinds of problems. We're not as we ought to be. Everybody knows that. That has been the problem that the world has been trying to solve literally ever since the fall. But if you look at all the religions of the world, they know this. You know why they know that? Because all the religions of the world are packing in all of these rules and rituals and so forth and ceremonies to try to get man from the problem he is to something else. Only the big problem with religion is they think it's up to man to do it. But how can maybe I'm just too simplistic. But once you've figured out that you're flawed and you're broken, right? How can a broken organism, figure out how to make itself unbroken again? You can't. You need help from the outside to be able to say, this is what's wrong with you, and we're going to give you what you're lacking in order to become unbroken. The very fact that man, who's totally fallen, thinks that he can, of himself, pick himself up and fix it, is really ridiculous, if you really think about it. And yet, that's what all the religions of the world do. You just, pray five times to Mecca every day, and you'll get from where you are to where you need to be. Say the rosary. Go to church every morning. Get on your knees and just do that enough and you'll get from where you are to where you need to be. And it's true of all the religions. It's true of Hinduism. The same thing. Hinduism says, you know what? You're going to have to go through all these stages where you finally figure out that your desires have to be changed and you have to figure out how you then live in another way. And they sound great. Live for others. Live for a future. Live for this. And even love God, okay? But the problem is, as we saw this last night, the problem is that we don't have it in ourselves to love God. I hope you know that the Old Testament proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt. The favored nation, Israel, had been given this perfect law, told exactly what they need to do, only because we're of flesh and we have sin in our flesh, we're not able to do it. And I'll guarantee you, anybody who's tried these other religions, if they're being honest with themselves, they've come to that same point. They're insecure about the fact, while the ideal sounds fantastic, it sounds great to be able to get to that place, nirvana or karma, whatever you want to call it. It sounds great. But if you talk to them in their heart of hearts, they haven't gotten there. Because you can't get there. You need God to come down and rescue you and start over. Say, you know what? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've got a solution to that. I'm going to take care of Adam. He's going to be on the cross with Christ. I'm going to deal with your sins and the fact that you have sin in your flesh and the fact that you rebelled against me. All that's going to be taken care of by this precious, obedient Jesus who is going to go to the cross and pay the price for all your sins, and your old man will be crucified with him. Done with. And then God says, now we'll start over with a new man, Jesus Christ, the one new man. And you're going to be placed in him. And then from there forward, all things are going to be new. This is really true. I'm not making this up. You couldn't make this up. I know that's the case because all of mankind, with all of his religions and philosophies, has never yet come up with that solution. They always start with man and what man can do to improve man. Only the Bible starts with God. It says, I'm going to start over, and I'm going to bring the new man from heaven, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to have him take care of all you were in Adam and start over again, and I'm going to place you in him, and where I'm going to pour every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's what we have as the truth about us, and it's only by revelation. We would never figure this out on our own. We don't have the imagination or the humility, quite frankly, to be able to first write, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, that's humbling. But then, verse 24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. That great phrase. I'm telling you, wherever you see it, something good is going to happen. Some statement's going to be made about the wonders and the blessings that apply to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You've been justified, declared righteous by God, declared totally acceptable to him forever as a gift by his grace through the redemption. Your sins are paid for. The guilt's been wiped out. You don't have to be a prisoner of your past. You don't have to ever again be a prisoner of your mistakes and failures. Not because of anything you did, because of what God did in Christ. And he put you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin, sin offering, on our behalf. Why? So that we, this is you tonight. If you're a prisoner of your past, if you're burdened by your mistakes and your failures, this is you tonight. That God took his son, put him on the cross, made him to be a sin offering on your behalf, that he would deal with the whole problem of sin on the cross for a reason. So that we, you, might become, listen to how amazing this is, the righteousness of God in him. That always blows me away when I see that verse. You want to know why? Because it's not even the righteousness of a human being. It's the very righteousness of God he has declared us to be, credited to our account, if you want to look at it that way. And when he places us in Christ, we get a double portion of it, because this is who Christ is. And by being in him, that's us. When God looks at you tonight, he sees you complete in Christ, and he sees you as having the righteousness of himself, of God. Now, we can say that, and, you know, we can try to put together a logical string, we can try to define it and all of that, but just, how about tonight, just settle back and make it something enjoyable, all right? Make it enjoyable about what this means, the righteousness of God. It means his perfect standard, okay, in all things, perfect goodness, perfect rightness about everything. He has declared that to be you because you're in Christ. That you can go to a place, living in Christ, where that's true about you all the time. What an amazing thing. See, I think that some of the legalism that we have, some of the focus on sin, comes from an inadequate appreciation of these things, of propitiation. That means that God is completely satisfied in his righteousness and his justice with you because of the work that Christ did on the cross. Let that sink in tonight. See, sometimes I think we don't. It's a surface thing, and it's in our brain, and then we move on to the next thing, and then we buy the lie that, okay, it was fine for you to take the salvation by grace, but now it's up to you, buddy. You got to do A, B, and C now, and you got to learn these things and do them all right. And I know we've been there, because I've been there. It's wrong. At the moment you believed in Christ, you were perfectly righteous in God's eyes. Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross completely satisfied the righteousness and justice of God forever on your account. That's how God sees you. That's how he will always see you. And you know the great thing about that? You know what that does to me? It just makes me want to glorify and shout the greatness of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be going, wow, how great Jesus Christ is. Totally forgetting about us and our problems and everything. Once again, saying how amazing he is that he could do that for me. God loves to hear that. He loves to hear his children just rejoicing about what God has done for us. So do that tonight. If that's you, if you're burdened by any kind of area of sin or weakness, your past, a prisoner of your mistakes, realize this is true about you tonight. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ. Maybe tonight your situation's a little different. Maybe you look at your life these days and you just feel like it's just drifting along, dead, lifeless. What's the use? What's the point? Different day, same thing. Same problem. Same bad news on the television. Same nasty emails, whatever. Same other people that seem to have these great lives that they just flaunt all over Facebook. But I know the truth about my life. It's nothing like that. You know? drifting along, dead, lifeless. Turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Because this book will point out the place, it's a place you can live where you'll be completely alive again, bringing you into the life of the greatest person who ever lived. Imagine that. Imagine that. You can be brought into the life of the greatest person who ever lived. You know, I'm not talking about Einstein or Churchill or even Mother Teresa for that matter. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 6:11. Even so, notice, consider yourselves. This is the key to it all, is to let the Holy Spirit make these things real to you. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin. How's that for a statement? Dead to it. You're dead to it. But what? Alive to God. Where? In Christ Jesus. I know a place. That's the place. In Christ Jesus. You're alive to God. Now, if there's anybody who knows what being alive is about, it's got to be God, right? The one who created us. Even though I think my life doesn't seem to be working out too well, and I feel dead and I feel lifeless, if I could just get to God and He could show me how to be alive to Him, then that would be great. Then I'd have a life worth living. You are that. Where? A place called in Christ Jesus, which you should get to know more about. And that's what we're doing. And I want you to take these things and apply them to yourself. Please go to Romans 8, too. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. By the way, we'll get to this by the by, but I'm more and more convinced that all of Romans 8 has to do with the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. And that you are not in the flesh, okay? Sin is in your body, but you are not in the flesh anymore. The Bible talks about that. You are in the Spirit, okay? And so you should check that out in the new light, maybe. If somebody put you in bondage in that chapter, there should be no bondage for the believer in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, by the way. But this is an example. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of what? Life in Christ Jesus has set you, it's you tonight, free from the law of sin and the law of death. Let's read that again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. That means that He is providing for you this indestructible, eternal, amazing life in Christ Jesus, that place. And then it sets you free. Done deal. You don't have to work for this. You don't have to confess your sins for this. You don't have to do any of those things. You have already been set free from the law of sin and of death. That's what my Bible says. Isn't that what your Bible says? Yeah, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. It's amazing. And Christ gets all the credit. Are you feeling condemned in any way? Look at Romans 8:1. This book opens the door for you to never be condemned again. There it is, right there in black and white. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now what? No condemnation. For who? Those who are where? In Christ Jesus. What a place. I mean, think about it. Already tonight, we found the solution to condemnation, the solution to a lifeless life, a solution to the past, our mistakes and failures, the solution to death. All in this one place, in Christ Jesus. And you can go there anytime, because all you have to do now is get those scriptures that we're going through tonight, or get a concordance, or get PC Study Bible, or any other way to just find that phrase, in Christ, or in Him. And you can enjoy these things again, and again, and again, and again, and you should. You know, it's funny, there's people that enjoy their favorite movie 10, 20, 30 times, right? Well, what's wrong with enjoying your favorite in Christ scripture 100 times, 200, 500, 1,000 times? That's what it's here for. All right, let's do another one. I'm having fun. You guys having fun? Is this fun for you at all? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm having fun. All right, you tired of all the hatred that's out there? There's a lot of hatred out there. It's everywhere. Brother against brother, nation against nation. All kinds of hatred out there. If you are, go to Romans 8:38. Because this book will bring you to that place again where you're going to be basking in total love. Why would you stay in a place where you're putting yourself under hatred when you know anytime you want, you can go to a place where you're being basked in total love? What's that place? Well, you know by now, it's in Christ. Let's take a look at it. Romans 8:38. This book is going to bring you there. You're going to be basking in total love. And best of all, nothing will ever be able to separate you from that all-encompassing, overflowing love for you. Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isn't it great to be in Christ? I hope you're starting to see why this is an amazing place to be. Be so thankful that God put us here. Because even we are always basking in total love in Christ. And we can never lose it. How about this one? We talked about this already. Stuck in the mud. Just another face in the crowd. A lot of people think that about themselves. They probably wouldn't admit it. But they look around and they see people, other people having more fun, or other people more popular, or famous, or seem to have a great life, or driving the right car, having the right girlfriend, whatever it is, fill in the blank, right? And, you know, that's the whole thing out there. Please, you know, I live in the world. I know what's going on out there. That's the whole thing about Facebook. I keep picking on Facebook. I don't know why. I don't even go on anymore. I got rid of my account. I know. Olivia, you're witnessing for Christ on there. I know, but you're the exception, darling. You have to understand, right? But really, that's the whole thing out there. The whole thing out there is people trying to be one up on other people with where they live, with what car they drive, with what girlfriend they have, with what music they listen to, and you name it, on and on and on and on and on. To the point where anybody who's really being honest, looking at this charade out there and this big show, has to say, that's not me. I know, I go home at night with me. You know, I put my pants on one at a time. On a good day. Sometimes I took both pant legs on one leg. It's not so good. You know, I know I'm just another face in the crowd. I know when I go out there. I mean, you guys may love me and all that, but I know if I go into Publix, they don't give a darn about who I am. I'm just another face in the crowd, okay? That's out there in the world. But how about, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Because this book opens a window for you to live in the place, that one great, amazing place where you will know that you have been set apart for a unique calling of the highest kind. Now, I want you to listen to those words. See, one of the things, by the way, about this is that you can take these things now and not just give them as a gift to yourself, but you can give them as a gift to your unbeliever friend, by the way. Because you know what? I'm more and more convinced. When I look at Jesus Christ and how he evangelized, he didn't have a script. When he went to that woman in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John who had five husbands, a Samaritan woman, what did he say? He says, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be asking me and I would give you water that would never thirst again. He didn't say, okay, script, hold on, time, wait a minute. You are a sinner. Hold on a second. You are a sinner, okay? You have to repent of your sin. Hold on. By that time, the woman would be long gone, of course. And I'm going to die on the cross for your sins, and I'm going to rise again, and you have to believe in me. Now, those are all good things to tell people. But really, there was that attractive thing that he started with, which was what? I got water that you can drink from and never thirst again. See? He wasn't afraid of doing a little Jesus marketing, if you want to think of it that way. In other words, present the attractive thing about what it means to be a Christian. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why if you look at the preaching that was done in the book of Acts, you want to know something interesting about that? You know what they preached over and over and over again? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's amazing. That's like, whoa, somebody rose again from the grave. And he predicted it was going to happen, and he said he was the Son of God, and he's the Messiah to the Jews. Wow! There's nothing wrong with that. If Jesus did it, and the apostles did it, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with it. And so you can take these things to another person. You can say, you know what? I know a place where you will not be just another face in the crowd, but instead, you will be set apart for your unique calling of the highest kind. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. There it is. Saints by calling. It's not just Mother Teresa, is it? No way. We have been sanctified, already set apart for a unique high calling. Where? In Christ Jesus. With those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what I mean. About the book's being optimistic, and exciting. And, you know, when Paul was writing these letters, what did he lead off with? Grace, peace. You know, he didn't say, you have to stop thinking about your sins now for the next 20 minutes. Led off with what? You guys are saints by calling. You got a tremendous calling now. You've already been set apart in Christ Jesus. I'm gonna preach grace to you. It's important to know that how much God loves you and how much grace he has. And peace, the peace that surpasses understanding, it's yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, have any of you felt foolish lately? That's a dumb question, isn't it? Right? Maybe someday I'm going to have two puppets. And one will be the fool, you know, the fool says there is no God. And then maybe Bible man or something like that. Because we all have that foolish thing going on in our lives, right? Yeah, I might do that. Watch out. Never know. Yeah, feeling foolish, feeling like, why did I do that? You know, how come I couldn't? You ever have a situation where a person comes into your life and you fall for whatever it is, you're buying whatever they're selling, and you're just like, and then one day, they finally reveal the true colors, and then you get all those people around you that said, I knew that all along. You know, you always feel like, well, how come I didn't see that? How come I didn't see that coming, right? We feel foolish a lot. All of us do, you know? We make a bad decision, and we come back and find only later it was a bad decision. We feel foolish. How come I wasn't wise? How come I wasn't intelligent? Well, I know a place where you can be really close to the wisest man in the universe who will be at your disposal 24 hours a day, giving you all the wisdom you need for any situation you face in life. You don't have to go climb a high mountain and find the Swami at the top. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:30. But by his doing, God's doing, you are aware in Christ Jesus. Remember what I said? You should be anticipating something great. Every time you see that phrase, and we're not disappointed, who became to us. Notice it's for us. It's our blessing. What? Wisdom from God. And righteousness. He's really laying it on heavy in this verse. And sanctification and redemption. Many of the places we've already been tonight, he mentions again here. You've been declared perfectly righteous because you're in Christ. You've been set apart for a high calling. You're a saint because you're in Christ. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You're in Christ. But also, Christ has become to you wisdom from God. Just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is real. You have access to wisdom from God because you're in Christ Jesus. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe we've stumbled on the one that you need to take close and keep close to your heart. That you have felt foolish lately. You have felt like you're lacking in wisdom. And now you know something. That you are in Christ. He is your wisdom from God. But what does that mean? It opens up a whole new world. Now you have to say, what does that mean? Well, how did I find out that I had this wisdom from God? Well, I went to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures told me. And the Holy Spirit did something inside me and said, this is for you tonight. I wonder if he can keep doing that. I wonder if that's something where I can go back now and find more wisdom in that same place, the book, which will then I'll be able to use because the Holy Spirit is inside me, and because I'm in Christ, it's going to be magnified. Maybe I can do that again and again and again. Maybe I can really live life according to the way this book tells me to live life and be convinced that it'll be wisdom every time. Maybe I can try that. And this is what happens when you understand that God's gracing you out and blessing you, and he wants these things for you. God wants you to have a great life, by the way. He doesn't want you to feel foolish or feel like you're missing something in life. He wants you to have a great life. You know, I don't think enough pastors tell people. Now, this isn't the name it and claim it message, okay? So don't take this the wrong way. And I'm not telling you you're not going to have suffering. You're going to have plenty of it. But along with that, you're in Christ. And all things are possible. Find out what those things are. Live there, in other words. Well, look, we're all going to live this life in the world where we're suffering and the world hates us. And we know all about that. That's a given. But you can also go to this place in Christ where all these other things are given to you as well. And it's true about you, but the Holy Spirit is here to make you know these things so you can enjoy them and live in them and be changed by them. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. I shouldn't laugh about this because it's a serious thing, but I know at any given point in time there are people who fit this question. Are you falling apart? Heck, I was earlier in the year, so I'm not putting myself on a pedestal or anything, okay? Falling apart. You know what I'm talking about. Like your whole life seems to be unraveling, and you feel like this is just a mess, and I don't know what's happening here. Well, this book will tell you about a place where you'll be established on solid rock permanently. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. See, God in Christ, you're established. And I found that lesson out myself when I was falling apart. I found out that in one area I was falling apart, but God left open this door where I could be in Christ, and he could show me, okay, there's a reason why you're falling apart. You needed to see something about you and Adam, okay, which you needed to know. You needed to trust yourself less. But at the same time, I opened up this great door, this great window, this great pathway to find out that there's nothing, kid, you're ever going to go through in life that Jesus Christ hasn't already solved the problem for you. That he is enough for everything you go through. So from now on, every time you fall apart, realize that, you know what? Christ has got whatever you need, okay? Maybe it's the love of God. Maybe it's his priesthood like we studied. Maybe it's just the understanding that the resurrection power is available. And see, if I hadn't fallen apart with the natural side, I never would have looked for the door into Christ, would have shown me some new resources that he has for me to deal with the fact that I'm a mess in Adam, or I was. Are people telling you that you're nothing but a loser? Are they? Are there people in your life that are telling you you're nothing but a loser? This book will be putting you in a position where you'll always, this is the amazing thing about this book, always be led to triumph. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. I know a place. 2 Corinthians 2:14. If you're feeling like you're nothing but a loser, 2 Corinthians 2:14 is for you tonight. But thanks be to God, notice the words, who always leads us in triumph, where? In Christ. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Audacious, isn't it? Isn't it bold of God to write things like this? Who does he think he is, actually? Well, of course, he knows who he is. Hopefully we do. We're starting to. But look, read that again. This is true of you tonight. You just don't know it yet. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, where? In Christ. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And who's doing it? He is. Where does it go on? In Christ. Where are you? In Christ. See, but there's this funny thing where the work of the Holy Spirit now, see, the Holy Spirit's important. Because God's done all of this. You know, if we just had eyes to see and ears to hear, we'd get all that. He's done all of this, but the Holy Spirit is here to try to bring it to us and say, hello, this is true about you. You can actually live here. This can actually be your experience in everyday life. You can actually get to the point where you're enjoying these things. Now, your natural life, it's not true about that. Okay, don't get the wrong idea. You're not going to always be led to triumph with, you know, your stock options. You're not always going to be led to triumph with your sports athleticism. You're not always going to be led to triumph in this social realm where you're always going to be the most important person. No. But there is a place where you're going to always be led to triumph, and that's where? In Christ. That's what we have to understand. There is a place. God has made this place for us. He's put us there where we can always be led in triumph, and where the knowledge of him will be a sweet aroma that we're given off in every place. Now, you know, never mind. I won't talk about aromas because that'll just gross you out here. It's 7:59. I don't want to go there. I want to leave on a high note, but you understand, okay? This is unique to God's work, right? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done by Christ will last. And that's the thing we got to get the hang of, this grace thing. That it's his work and that it's in Christ where all these things happen. And you're in Christ and the Holy Spirit wants you to know it. And more than just know it, to experience it, live in it, and enjoy it. So I hope you enjoy one of the verses that we're in tonight that was meant just for your heart this evening. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the wonders of being in Christ. And they're just unraveling and overflowing, and they're just so amazing. It's so full. We're so full when we see these things and really take them to heart and enjoy them. And we just ask, Father, for this to continue. Lord, we need this. Help these times when we gather together to be times where we celebrate and enjoy the wonders of being in Christ. We ask it in His name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know.